Thank you. Maybe sit it, and thank you once again, praise team. Thank you, and thank you everyone who joined us this morning. We have some visitors here, and welcome, welcome to our church. I think I'm excited to serve God together with you and worship God together with you. Does not matter whether you're first time visitors. It's always good to worship God together. So thank you for that privilege of honoring and also serving God together this morning. My name is Hee-Sung Park. I'm the pastor of church. And I'm excited to serve you this morning and also share God's word with you this morning. Today I want to talk about worship as a life-changing experience. Worship as a life-changing experience. And we're going to read an excerpt from the Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 18. We've been talking about worship. And why do we talk about worship? Because it is for a very important reason. For a very important reason. Why? The reason is that worship is the only proper response to the living God. Because worship is only a proper response to living God. As we look, as we look at it together, we can worship the true God. Because no one cared to look for Him. Because no one, because sinners can approach God. But He made it happen for all of us. And now we know who the true God is. Now we know He cares for you and me. Now we know that He loves us. Now we know that He desires to save and help every single one of us. Now we know that He wants to be connected with us. And Don, can you turn down the gain for my mic just a little bit? Thank you. So now worship is now only proper response as a redeemed people of God. And it happens naturally within us towards the one who saved us, who loves us, who is so awesome in His power and majesty. However, there is a problem. There's a little problem because, you know, there is wrong way to worship and there's a good way, a proper way of worshiping God. How do we know whether we are worshiping God properly? How do we know? We find out in the Bible. You know, Israelites were found with guilty of burdening God with their wrong worship. Read Malachi chapter 1. If you have time, when you go back, read Malachi chapter 1. And if you want to read more about it in depth, it is quite, and read there and throughout the other parts of the Old Testament, we find out that it is quite possible for our worship would burden God. That it is quite possible that our worship would not be accepted by our God. Then we find in John chapter 4 that where Jesus said that God is looking for a true worshiper. That God is looking for a true worshiper. That also implies that, you know, there are also fake worshipers as well. That this desire of God is why we have to learn more about worship. We have to become true worshipers. We have to become true worshipers that God is seeking. I believe He is looking for true worshipers in this place, in this morning. And He wants to help you to become the true worshiper. Why? Because true worship undo brokenness of your heart. True worship unlocks the mystery of God's grace. Because true worship unleashes God's power. That's why. That's why He wants to help you to become true worshiper. That's what we saw in Jesus Christ. As the perfect priest, as a perfect sacrifice Himself, He offered the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate worship to God, and saying, God, please forgive all these people, for they do not know what they are doing. From His true worship that Jesus gave, what is now being made possible in us, the true worship. When He sacrificed, when He worshiped on the day, the brokenness of this world was undone. The mystery of God's grace was made known. And God's power was unleashed on the cross. So I pray through our worship, we'll have a deep repentance and deep connection with our God. So we began to talk about holiness, pursuing holiness, and what does the holiness teach us. And today we are going to talk about worship as life-changing experience. So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, and that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. This shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is a very famous story. A lot of people know about this. You know, this is one story that I think as we grow up as Christians in the church, in our spiritual journey, in the children ministry, somewhere along the way we hear about. And this is a moment where Moses' life changed. It turned around. This was the moment when the history of Israelites turned around. And this is also the moment where your life and my life turned around. It's a very important moment. So let's look at it together. This was the moment with the living God. As you read back, as you go back to the text, you find out this was a moment with the living God. And that could be the beginning. The moment with the living God could be the beginning of new life, new heart, new community, new family in your life. Desire the moment with God. I plead to you, desire the moment with God and pursue holiness as we're talking about this past 2-3 weeks now. So let's first talk about Moses a little bit. It's a truly remarkable story. It is indeed. I always think about the movie Gladiator, right? From the prince to the slave and then to the shepherd and from shepherd to the savior of his nation, right? It's an amazing story. I love that story. And he was born during the very trying time. Israelites were told to kill every single, male-born child. And his mom could not do that, so she kept the baby for 3 months. But the baby was too big, too strong now, was crying too loud. So she had to let the baby go. As you know the story, she let the baby go on the River Nile. He was in the basket. But you know the story, the princess of Egypt found the baby. It's very interesting. There's legend, Jewish have a legend, besides their, Tanakh is their Old Testament. Besides that, the Jewish community has legend that follow along with that story. And the story goes like this, that lady, the princess, she actually was, on the particular day, she was turning away from the ways of her father. Her way of father's way of worshiping all different idols. On that day, she was turning away from that, and she was dipping in the river to cleanse herself. She was going through the ritual. I'm going to abandon all that way of worshiping all these gods. And then on that day, if that is true, legend, right? On that particular day, God sent her a gift. God sent her a gift. And then she called that boy Moses, meaning God, pull me out. God, on that particular day, as she was cleansing herself, repenting of her ways, her life was being pulled out. Amazing story how they all put together. You know, but this child grew up, Moses grew up, and then he was later rejected by his own people due to his crime against Egyptians, and he had to run away. You know, he had to live behind all the things that he enjoyed, cherished for 40 years of his life. He had to run away to the wilderness. He became a shepherd. He was 40 years old when he went into the wilderness, and in this particular text we read together, Exodus chapter 3, he now is 80 years old. And this happens. So let's go back once again. Verse 1, now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. God appeared to him. After all these years, God appeared to Moses. This is very important because God continues to appear to his people. It was God who appeared to him, which then causes Moses to respond. In this relationship with God, God always initiated. You should know that. In this relationship with God, God always, always initiated. That's why we call it such amazing grace. God declared, the ground is holy, and told him, take off, remove your sandal. The ground is not holy, as we talked about two Sundays ago, but the ground is now hosting the presence of God. That's why God called it holy. And God gave him a command, take off your sandal. This is something that all of us could understand, identify. When do you take off your shoes or sandals? During the daytime. Yeah, when you're going into the house, you take off your sandal. Exactly. When you're going into the house, why do you take off sandals? A lot of Eastern Asians, right? Different, you know, the Asian community, different cultural, groups do follow that tradition, taking off sandals, shoes as they enter house. Why? It happened because the Asian culture was so centered around the floor. Right, they walk into the house, people sit on the floor, they ate on the floor, they slept on the floor. So they want to keep all the dirt away. Does it make sense? Yeah, that's where the tradition kind of began, because it's so central to their living. And just like that, the Egyptians, and when they enter the temple, when they entered the temple, they had a custom of taking off their shoes or sandals to represent, now I'm entering holy place. Do you understand that? Yeah? Yeah, so when God spoke to Moses, he was speaking to him in a plain term. It was not something new, something that he's very familiar with. Take off your sandal. He knew immediately, I'm in a holy place. You know, when God speaks, he speaks clearly. He doesn't speak ambiguously. He doesn't. He speaks plainly to you and me in a way that you and I can understand clearly. But then sometimes we juggle too much with the different voices that want to justify not to obey his voice. I wonder if there's somebody in this place who's juggling with many different voices that want to justify for not obeying his voice. But I want to remind you again, when God speaks, it's very clear and plain in a way that you can understand. You know, So God spoke to him, and he understood immediately, wow, I'm encountering the holy God, the living God, right now at this moment. So what does he do immediately? Then he not only take off his sandals, he was just approaching it out of curiosity. He wanted to see what's going on here, but he understood that he was in the space of holy God. So not only he removes his sandals, but he gets on the knee. You see, he understood. That's why he got on his knees and he says he put his face down on the earth. He worshiped God. And the rest is history. In the place where God's revelation was revealed and where the encounter of God was felt, in the place of worship, the brokenness of Moses was done. The mystery of God's grace was unlocked. The power of God was unleashed. No, it didn't happen. It did not happen. What happened? I just told you that, you know, in the place of worship, such things happen. But it didn't happen. Why not? God invited Moses to come. Moses humbled himself and worshiped the holy God. And God spoke to him. But then what happened? As we read the text, he focused on himself. He focused on himself. God said, go. And he said, no, I can't go. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. Well, that is quite true. Thanks for the stating what is obvious, Moses, but go. And he's like, well, I cannot go. I can't do anything. I believe this place is where the presence of God is experienced together. I believe in Emmanuel God, God who is with us. And I believe that in this place we have gathered together to experience God together. You have entered God's presence? Great. You heard his voice? That's great. You worship God? That's great. You humble yourself before the Lord? That's great. Now you have to focus on him. That must be there. If you have come to worship God, you must fix your heart, fix your mind, your eyes on him. Otherwise, you could be just roaming around, standing up, sit down, lifting hands up, sing some tunes, and walk away from this place and find out the worship has no meaning to your life at all. I just stated earlier, true worship undo the brokenness of heart. I believe that true worship unlocks the mystery of God's grace. I believe that true worship unlocks God's power, and that is to happen in this place as you enter the presence of God, as you worship him, as you engage with him. But then if you are not focusing on him, we could be just wasting time in this place. I stated earlier, there's a problem because it's very clear from the Bible. There's a proper way of worshiping God, improper way of worshiping God. For the proper way of worship to take place, now we humble ourselves and we focus on him. So last Sunday I suggested, let's pursue God together. And this past week I suggested, let's take time to pray. Maybe seven times a week, three times a day. I don't know what you do, like 1 hour prayer, but take time to pursue him. So keep your focus there to him. So as you continue to pursue his holiness. And this week I want to suggest, let's take time to fast together. This week, if you can, one meal, two meals, maybe one day. If you can, fast. Give yourself time to properly focus on him so that you can continue to pursue him. So that each and every day, not only the Sunday, but each and every day becomes the day when you unleash God's power in your life, where the grace of God is felt and understood and unlocked in your life. I pray that I really want to invite you to join me in that effort of pursuing his holiness. I have an interesting proposal for all of us. Generally speaking, there have been like about four different ways that the doctrines of Christianity and the understanding there are four ways that understanding had came from. First one is Word of God. Second one is tradition. Third one is experience. Fourth one is reasoning. All these four play together, great part together, forming what we believe today. And I experience God through that. And some church emphasize on the word of God, like Presbyterian church do, right? And some church emphasize on tradition, like Catholic church, Lutheran church, and some other church. Liturgical church does that. And there's Assembly of God, our denomination, Pentecostal church. We emphasize on experience. That's what we do. You know, what did church look like in the first century as we read the Bibles in the New Testament? They did not have the word of God like we do today. They didn't have, it was before the time they formed the tradition together. But then what was it? It was about experiencing God's word daily basis. It was about experiencing God's love daily basis. It's about sharing God's grace as they experience God's grace each and every day. It was heavily on experience. And they thrived. They thrived. And our church, our denomination, is known for pursuing experience. I feel like in my heart, I have strong conviction in my heart. Somehow along the way, we kind of stopped the pursuit. Let us experience together. Let's bring back the strength of our denomination, what church is all about. I pray that as we come together, we are so focused on experiencing God's presence together. And I bet they will just change our worship time into a life-changing experience. I believe that can happen here as we come together and worship. I believe that can happen in your home as you focus on pursuing His holiness, His presence. Throughout this week, do whatever you can to make time to fast. Maybe one meal, two meals, three meals. I don't know. Try. Let us experience God's love together. Let us experience God's power together as church. And let us grow together. Let's pray together. Let's read His words together. Let us experience His presence together. That's all I have to share today. But I just want to encourage you guys right now at this time to think, to look forward, look into this week, what's to come. Think what your schedule is going to look like. When will be the best time for you to fast, to pursue His holiness? Let's take time to think about it, and we're going to pray together after. Let's take a moment to think about your schedule for a little bit, and we're going to pray together after. I invite the praise team to come forward. Just help us to pray together in this place. Is Monday a good day for you? Monday lunch? Monday dinner? Wednesday? Thursday? Friday? Throughout this week, let us pursue His holiness together.